Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Everyone's doing what? Great? Get to sing Christmas songs, and the Christmas is in the air, and we're celebrating our Savior, Jesus Christ. There couldn't be nothing greater than that, right? That we can worship together our Savior, and what a beautiful name it is. I mean, what a tremendous, beautiful song that is to sing. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. When you're studying anything about Christmas or anything about this season, it seems like you always got to come to Luke chapter 2 at some time during the season. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to continue in our series, Journey to the Manger. Inside of the bulletin is an outline to follow along with the message this morning. And this morning, we want to talk about waiting. And my question is, how many of you like to wait? Not too many I had. Anyone here really like to wait? And you know, or do you ever go to, you know, like you're shopping today to the department stores, and you go to the department store and you say, well, I'm going to look for the longest line to stand. Does anybody do that? I mean, does anybody like that to say, I go to the longest line because I love to wait? Or you're more like me, you go to the shortest line and you look for the shortest line, you find the shortest line. And then you get kind of upset, you see, because it seems like the longer line is going faster. You get kind of upset. Anybody relate to that? You kind of feel that way, kind of waiting? The average American will spend 150 days waiting in traffic, and that does not include an additional 2 weeks waiting at red lights. Imagine that, 150 days waiting in traffic. If you watch 1 hour television a night, and if you live to be 80, you will watch over 162 days of commercials. But if you're like me and my family, we usually turn from the commercials now, don't like to watch those, but we watch a lot of commercials. In the waiting process, what usually happens, normally when we wait, we ask, when is it over? Or how long do I have to wait? Remember when Christmas came and we were children, you couldn't wait for Christmas. It seems like the month of December took 12 months to happen. I mean, it just seems like it forever for Christmas to come when it came to December. And now, it seems like you get through Thanksgiving in a few days, here we are, Christmas for me now. So we ask the question, how long do we have to wait? And once it arrives, we ask another question, was it worth the wait? And many times if you go to a restaurant and they say you have to wait for a certain amount of time, you come after it and say, how long did I have to wait? And was it worth the wait? Was the food worth me waiting? Or if I purchase something, have to wait in a long line, was it worth the wait with what I purchased? How many of you have went to get something at a store and have it in your hand, you see the long line, you just put it back? I mean, I've done that few times. Do not like to wait in lines. So is it worth the wait? If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Remember last week we started with the Old Testament prophecy from Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And that was written some 700 and some years before Jesus came to this earth as a baby. So people waited. They waited after that, and they waited for other prophecies. And Micah would prophesy about this place being where Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. He says in Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. And then we have Malachi, and the last of the Old Testament prophets would prophesy 400 years before Jesus ever came, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. Beautiful prophecy, then it was silence. From Isaiah to Malachi, there was 300 years, and then after Malachi, there was 400 years of silence, and no prophet spoke. Just silence. So they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and finally Jesus would come. And the wait would be over, and sort of over, for those and ones who were looking and watching and waiting for Jesus, the wait was over, but some it was not over. But when we look at this message that we're looking at today, we see a man called Simeon, and we learn some things about waiting that are very interesting for us, that are very important for you and I as I wait today for so many things in our life. So I want to give you 4 observations on waiting on God, and the first one is Luke chapter 2, verse 25. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Well, the first thing we learn in waiting is driven by a need. When we wait because there is a need. And the situation for Israel in Jerusalem was one where Herod was the king. and he kind of ruled over there. He was cruel. He was horrible. He kind of oppressed the Jews at that time, and it was a horrible time to live, especially as a Jew. Horrible time for them to live during this time. In this time, people were waiting. They were waiting for something to happen, and there was a small group in the land called the Quiet in the Land, and this Quiet in the Land of the group was waiting and watching, and they waited for years and years and decades and centuries for the consolation of Israel is what they were waiting for. And not everybody was waiting like Simeon, but Simeon was waiting. Others were kind of doing their own thing, doing what they thought they should do. But Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Well, what does that mean? What is the consolation of Israel? See, the biggest problems in life, usually what people are saying, referred to as emotional and physical. But you and I know different from that. We know the biggest problems in life are spiritual problems. The emotional, physical are really temporary problems. They only last this life. But spiritual, that's for all of eternity, and that's so much more important. When Simeon was waiting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel, what he was waiting for, it was a time period where he would say God would end the silence, where God would respond again, and he would bring healing to the land, and he would heal Israel and restore Israel. That's what he's looking for. He says the suffering would end, and that would come with Jesus. And that's what he was waiting for. That's what they were waiting for. So the consolation of Israel is another name for the coming of Messiah, that he would come and bring comfort to Israel and bring salvation for all. That's what Simeon was waiting for, and he's waiting for that time. And we know today that Jesus has come, and you and I don't have to wait for him. All we have to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus today. We don't have to wait any longer. But right now we can say, Jesus, I know you came and you died on the cross for my sins, and I accept you as my Savior. We don't have to wait to do that. We can do that today. But many times in this world, we have to wait, don't we? We have to wait for all kinds of things. And we look around, there's some certain things we have to wait. We don't like it, but we wait. And we wait because there is a need. About a year ago, I had a water leak over my chimney, over my fireplace chimney, and when it would rain hard and the wind would blow, the rain would come in and I'd have a leak above that, and I have a prefab metal fireplace, and what would happen is the rain would come in, it would kind of leak and drip and just ding, 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 kind of drive you crazy. So I called the roof guy out, and I asked him to come on out. We set a certain time that he would come out, and you had an appointment for him. Well, he didn't show up. Don't you just hate that when they don't show up on time? You don't like that. I'm not very patient in waiting. So I wait, and it's 20 minutes go by. He doesn't show up, and 30 minutes go by. And I think it was finally 40 minutes go by, and he calls me. He says, I'm running a little late. And I want to say, no kidding, right? But I didn't, because I had a need. I had a need because I had a roof that was leaking, and it was leaking over my fireplace, so I had a need. He finally didn't show up till close about an hour and a half later, but I waited because I had a need, and I needed for him to come. And so you might go to the doctor, and you wait in the doctor's office. They give you an appointment at one time, and it seems like we always have to wait, but we wait because we have a need. You go to the dentist, and you go to the dentist maybe with a toothache, whatever, and you wait because you have a need. And some of you have been waiting and praying for maybe a revival in the church, or maybe for God kind of do something, an awakening in our country, that God would change something in our country, and as it come, but you continue to pray because you have a need. It's a great need that you have there. And some of you may be praying for a wayward child to come back to the Lord. Or maybe you're praying for that loved one to come and put their faith and trust in Jesus. But you continue to pray because there's a great need there. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're praying for good medical results on some tests, or for healing in part of your body. And you're waiting because you have a great need. And you're waiting for God to do something. All of us know that it's very hard to wait. It's difficult for us to wait on the Lord to do something. But what Simeon gives us, he gives us that we can do some different things while we're waiting. We just don't wait idly by, but we can do some things. We see Simeon doing those things. That's what I want to talk about. The second observation when waiting on God is the answer to your waiting. And it's so important you and I understand that. He's the answer to our waiting. In verses 26 through 28, it said, it has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. That was Simeon. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God. We see from this passage that Simeon's devotion was to God. Simeon was a righteous man, devout man, a spirit-filled man, hoped in the future of God's plans and promises. That's what he hoped in. And Simeon was a model for all of us to follow. He's a great example to look at a life that I should be like Simeon. He was devoted to the things of God. That's what Simeon was. Really devoted to what God was devoted to. Really devoted to those kind of things. He was moved by the Spirit to go into the temple, and so he obeyed. And when he went in there, he was fired up about something. He was really fired up about something that God was doing. And my question is, what gets you fired up today? Do sometimes you get fired up about things that God doesn't get fired up about? I know I do sometimes. Sometimes I can get really, you may not know this, I can get really fired up about politics. I may not talk a lot about it, but God doesn't get fired up about that. Sometimes I can get really fired up about sport teams, but God doesn't get fired up about that. And sometimes I can get really fired up about a project around the house, and I won't stop until it's finished. It's got to be done. But God doesn't get fired up about those types of things. What are the things that really gets God fired up about? Because we need to be interested in those things. People really pouring their hearts out to God in worship. God gets fired up about that. Do you know that? When we really come and really have a heart to worship him. God gets fired about people studying the word of God and people gathering together to pray. God gets fired up about that. This morning, we went down to the prayer room to pray before the service, and the people were going to pray throughout the service. We had a whole group of people down there. It was always exciting to see that. I'll tell you, God gets fired up about that when people join together to pray. When people are walking in obedience to the Lord, he gets really fired up about that. When they're studying the word of God, and when they're praying together, and when they're sharing Jesus with others, God gets fired up about those type of things. When people are living before God and their lives are being transformed by Jesus, he gets really fired up about that. When people wanted to do the will of God and living for him and serving him, God gets fired up about those things. And you and I need to pay attention to what God gets fired up about and do those types of things. And Simeon was waiting on God, waiting for God to show him the Messiah. He was waiting to see the Messiah. But while we're waiting, we need to be watching, but we also need to be living obedient lives before God. We need to make sure we're doing that. And Simeon was different from many of the people that day. Many of the people that day got tired of waiting, and they decided to do their own things. They no longer were waiting for God, so they started doing other things. We have some groups there during that time of Simeon's time. We have the Zealots. The Zealots were people who kind of thought that they would rebel and overthrow their government. And they were tired of waiting, so they were going to do things their own way. And they were pretty fired up about that, of being zealots and rebelling against the government, rebelling against everyone. Then we have the Pharisees during that time. They set up their own religious system, one of works, and they stopped really watching and waiting, and they really stopped believing after a while and looking for the Messiah at all. Then we have the Sadducees, who were living for here and now, and they were concerned with their own religion. They didn't want anything to change what was happening. They wanted to keep things the same. They liked the way things were. And they thought Messiah comes, he's going to change everything. We just rather stick with the status quo. They liked what they had right then. And then we had the Essenes, who kind of checked out of society. They started their own commune, and they were kind of fired up about being separate from the world and doing their own thing. That's what they were doing. But here we look at this man, Simeon. Simeon was fired up about God's promised Messiah. Simeon was different from many of the people. He was concerned with God's plan for the future. He was concerned with what God is going to do. He was fired up about God and what he was doing. Not what everybody else was doing, but what God was doing. And he probably knew the scriptures as a little boy, for it says in Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given." And he watched and he waited. He says, what is God talking about? He's got to be coming. However long it was going to take, he was willing to wait. Because in verse 26 tells us that Simeon was told he would not die until he saw the Messiah. He was told that. It says, you will not die until you see him with your own eyes. And Simeon trusted God. He trusted in God's promises. He actually trusted in God's word. Or imagine that. God said something, and he lived by it. He says, God, I believe what you say, and I'll trust you. So I'm watching, and I'm waiting, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm anticipating every single day that you might be coming and show me who this is. Every day, I look for that opportunity to see that one you're talking about here. And he's waiting for the Messiah. He quietly waited for God's promise to be fulfilled, and he waited. Let me ask you, are you quietly waiting for God to fulfill his promises to you? Are you doing like Simeon? Have you prayed to God about something in your life and he has not answered you yet? And I say yet because God will answer your prayer. Or maybe he has answered you, but you don't like the answer he's given you because it's not what you wanted. Let me ask you, what are you doing while you are waiting right now? You've prayed it. You're waiting for God to do something. What are you doing? Are you serving? Are you living for him right now? Are you studying and you're growing right now where you're at? Are you kind of still passionate about Jesus and worshiping Jesus? Are you all excited about Jesus? Are you on fire for Jesus? Are you kind of angry and upset with him? Are you angry and upset because God isn't giving what you wanted? Why isn't God responding? So I'm angry at God because he's not doing what I thought he should do, and he's not doing it in my time. So I'm angry and upset with God. Are you like that? Are you like Simeon, who is quietly waiting with his heart and mind totally devoted to God, willing to accept God's will in his circumstance? Whatever it may be, God, I'm willing to accept it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just quietly waiting for what you're going to do because I know I'm going to be amazed. And I'm going to accept whatever it is that you have. In verse 27, it tells us it was the custom of the Jewish parents to bring their oldest child into the temple to present him to the Lord, for he belongs to the Lord. So that's what Mary and Joseph did. They brought their baby Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord because he belonged to him. And the Holy Spirit kind of tells Simeon, says, you need to go in the temple now. And so Simeon obeys. Listen, he obeys God, what God had him to do right there. And he goes into the temple at that appointed time. And Simeon sees this baby. Now you have to understand, they had been waiting hundreds of years for this baby. And Simeon's told in his lifetime that he would see it. And now he's an old man. And he had been waiting a long, long time, decades, all of his life to see this baby. You have to understand. Well, first you got to ask the question, how does Simeon know it's the Messiah? How does he know that? Of all the other babies, he probably sees babies all the time. We're not told that, but it's kind of the unexplainable and something remarkable that God must have let him know that this baby that you're looking at, this baby you're about to see is the Messiah. You need to get in there now. What you're about to behold is something different from anything else. And he goes in there, and the Bible tells us that he sees this baby, and he takes him in his arms, and he praises God. Simeon looks at this. I've been waiting all my life for this very moment. For this very moment for it to happen. And I finally get an opportunity to take this baby in my hands, in my arms here. And he says, and my eyes kind of behold upon him. And we look what Simeon does. It's really amazing that we all need to do. He looks at this baby, and what he does, he accepts this baby. He believes in this baby, and he embraces this baby. Of everything that was said about him, he doesn't doubt it all. He accepts the baby, he believes in the baby, and he embraces the baby, and he realizes that this baby is fulfillment of all of God's promises. This is the one that God was talking about. This is the one that was to come. This is for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He understood this moment right then what it was. And what he understood, that God is the answer and is waiting. And you and I have to understand, no matter what you're waiting for, God is the answer. We talked about that last week a little bit, that God gave all kinds of promises in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. And then he tells them, there's kind of a question that's not asked, who's going to do this and when is it going to happen? And then he tells them, for to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, Isaiah 9, 6. And he says, the answer to all the promises that you have in the Old Testament is Jesus. And God is telling you the answers that we have to all of our problems today and everything we're going through, no matter what it is you're going through, the answer for you and I today goes all the way back to Isaiah 9:6, is Jesus. Is Jesus. He is the solution to your waiting. He is the solution to your problems. He is the answer to everything we're asking today. It comes down to Jesus. What does Jesus have to say? What does Jesus want me to do? How can I glorify him? He is the solution to everything. And that's what Simeon understood. And that's what you and I need to understand. He is our answer in our waiting. The answer is Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 29 through 32. It says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel. The third observation when waiting on God, God will help you find the victory in your waiting. God will help you. That's the thing we have to understand. God will help us. He will not let us go. In victory, when we find victory, victory is God's will done in your circumstance. If you're looking for victory, that's victory. That's being victorious in the Christian life, is God's will be done in my life, and I accept it. and I rejoice because of it. Many people experience disappointment in their life because they're not watching and waiting on God. They're doing their own thing. They're not watching and waiting. And when you wait on God, the Bible says there is victory for you and I to be had. But it depends upon how you wait. It really depends upon your wait. Are you really waiting upon the Lord? Are you ready to receive what God has for you? Are you saying, no, God, I got to have it now? Are you going to wait for him? So it's how you wait, how you and I wait upon God. See, Simeon recognized Jesus coming in the world, and Simeon recognized the consolation of Israel because he was looking for it. So it's easy to recognize. When you and I are looking for God to do something, it's easy to recognize what God is going to do in our life. But many times we're not looking for it. We're looking for God to do what we want and not what God wants to do in our life. And so we miss it many times what God is doing. And Simeon was looking, God, whatever way you want to bring this child in or whatever you're going to do, I'm ready for it. I'm willing and just waiting for what you're going to do. And the Bible says he quietly waited on the Lord. What do you do in the midst of your waiting? Maybe you're waiting for a job to come your way right now. Maybe you've got a job and say, I need a better job, or I lost my job. Or maybe you're waiting for God to heal you from something physically. And you say, I've got something going on, and God, I'm asking for you to heal me. And as I said before, maybe you're waiting for that wayward child to come back. At this time, it really hurts our hearts around Christmas time. Maybe that wayward child that's been gone for a long time, you're looking for them to come back to the Lord. Maybe you're waiting for that one, you're saying, God, could they please just put their faith and trust in Christ? And we're waiting and we're praying and you're waiting for that request to be answered. And what are you doing? During the wait, there's all kinds of things that temptation to take matters into our own hands. There's all kinds of things that we think we need to do. I need to persuade, or we come with the solution, say, I need to do something to make this happen. I need to do something. I need to get out. I need to start doing something to make this happen. And we have a kind of situation in the Bible, the same thing happened. Abraham was told by God that he would have a child, but he would have to wait upon God. And his wife laughed. And his wife laughed because Abraham was an old man and his wife was beyond the years of childbearing. But God told him they would have a child, and they kind of believed God, but years go by and they don't have a child. And so they start thinking, maybe God needs help with this and maybe we need to do something about it. So they seem like we need to do something to help God. So what they do here, they take matters into their own hands. And when Abraham was 86 years old, he had a son with Sarah's maidservant, Hagar, and they named the child Ishmael. And today, because of that, we still struggle from the consequence of that decision still today in the Middle East. It's still a problem really around the world because the decision they made hundreds of years before, we still struggle with today. We have to understand that many times when we're not willing to wait upon God, we take decisions in our hands, we take the circumstance in our hands, and we do what we want to do. The circumstance can be devastating in our lives. We're not willing to wait upon God. That's why it's so important for you and I to wait upon the Lord and not run ahead of him, not run behind him, but wait upon God what he's doing. See, God doesn't want you and I to take matters in our own hands, but victory is found when you and I wait upon the Lord and we accept his will in our circumstances. That's what's difficult. You say, well, I can wait, but I'll wait only if God's going to do it this way. If he's going to do it that way, I'll wait. But if he's not, I've got to take it in my own hands. But that's victory when we wait upon God and allow God to do it his will in the circumstance. And we're all right with that. We're all right with that. We have gladness of heart. God, whatever your will is, I'm all right with that. The fourth observation when waiting on God is trust God in waiting. We have in Psalm 37 up on the screen, says this, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. The Bible says to you and I that we need to wait on the Lord and we need to trust him is what we need to do. That's what God says. You've got to trust me. Trust in the Lord is expressed in active obedience to him. That we're going to obey him in all things. Actively obey him. The exhortation, it says, commit one's way to the Lord is not a simple abandonment of everything. I just commit it and now I just abandon everything else. That's not what it's talking about. It involves a commitment to roll away or to cast away one's feeling of anger, resentment, or anything I have and bring it to the God, to the Lord, and give it to him. whatever feelings I have, I'm upset, I'm angry because I'm not getting what I want. I've been waiting such a long time. I mean, Abraham waited 25 years for his son Isaac to be born. And many times David waited about 15 years before he took his kingdom, became the king. He was told he's going to be a king, he had to wait. And many times we wait so long for something to happen and we think we got to do something, but it means that I'm going to commit it to God. I'm going to commit my anger, my resentment, and all these kind of things to God. The way pertains to one's whole life. God expects his children to come to him and put themselves completely under the Heavenly Father's care. That God, I'm going to come to you, and what I'm waiting on, what I'm praying for, what's going on in my life, I'm not only going to give you that, but I'm going to give you myself. My heart, my soul, my mind and strength, I'm going to give it all. And you are to trust God and wait for him to act, is what the Bible is telling us. Trust God and wait for him to act. He promises those who wait upon him, he will respond. That's God's promise. Those who wait upon God and would trust him, he will respond. That's what he's promising us. Commit your way to God, and he promised to respond. But as we're doing this, here's the big thing that we miss so many times, and it gets us in trouble. We're to continue serving the Lord and always walking in obedience with the Lord. As we're waiting, it means I continue to walk with him, continue serving him. There's never an excuse for you and I to disobey God, never. We don't say, I don't like what you're doing. Something happens, someone does something. Now that they've done this, I'm going to take matters in my own hand, and I don't care, I'm going to do it my way. Never is there an excuse to do that. Never, never. Well, always to wait upon God. We don't know why God is making us wait, but he is. That's his will for us. He's teaching us something. We have to wait upon God and see what he's going to do. We are to trust him and walk in total obedience. You're to never do what God should be doing in the waiting process, but only do what he expects you to do. And God expects you to walk in obedience. Waiting on God doesn't mean you don't do anything, though. Doesn't mean that I just sat by and I prayed for it. So simple abandonment. Now, God, I'm just going to wait upon you. Waiting means I'm giving it to God, but I'm going to continue to live for him in all things. I'm going to continue to trust him, serve him, walk with him, obey him, and all those kind of things. Continue coming to church and worship him. I'm going to continue going on. That's what waiting on the Lord is. When I say I'm waiting on God to do something, but I kind of pull back from God and stop worshiping, reading, serving, studying, and living for God, that's not waiting. That's not what the Bible's talking about, waiting. Waiting is I'm waiting on God, but I'm actively living for him in obedience. And glorifying him, serving him, studying, still being involved, being engaged with God and with others and fellowship and those type of things. That's what God is talking about. If you're here today and maybe you're saying, I come to here and I'm waiting to maybe one day I'm going to trust Jesus with my life. I'm waiting. One day I'm going to put my faith in Jesus and I'm waiting. Or maybe you're here today and you feel like there's just this void in my heart in my life right now, and I just can't find something to fill that, and it's just this gap in my life, and there's just something missing. Someone once said there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every human being and cannot be filled with a created thing. Only God the Creator, as he is known through Jesus Christ, can fill that void. And if you're here today and you say, boy, I've got this void in my life, and I don't know why, I've had it for a long time, and nothing would fill it, what the Bible tells you and I, what we need to understand, there's only one person that can fill it, and it's the person of Jesus. That God created a void in every human being's heart, in every human being's life, that they feel like something is missing. That's why you see the world chasing after so many things, because they know something's missing. And they fill it with so many materialistic things, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things. But the only thing that will fill that, it's a perfect piece, it's like a piece of a puzzle, it fits just perfectly, is the person Jesus. He's the one that fills that void in our life. He's the only one that can perfectly fit that. He's the only one that can give us contentment and peace and rest. And he's the only one that can give us that is Jesus. And that's what it was talking about in Isaiah 9:6. For to us a son is given, for to us a child is born, what it tells us that. And what we need to understand, that every one of us needs Jesus. And if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you need to put it in him today. Put your faith in him today. And you do that by understanding you're a sinner. And because of your sins, it has separated you from God. And there's no way that you and I can approach God because of our sin, because God is holy, just, and righteous. And so you and I can't approach him. So God sent his son Jesus, for to us a child is given, for to us a son is born. He's given us Jesus. He came from heaven to earth to come as a baby, and he was born as a baby to be our Savior, that he would grow up one day and become a man and go to the cross, and God would place all your sins, all those things that separate us from God, he would place up upon Jesus, and Jesus would die on the cross for those things. And so now you and I can approach God through Jesus, because Jesus spread out his arms and he paid the price for you and I. And Jesus bridges the gap between us and God the Father. Now we can have a relationship with God through Jesus, but it's only through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me except, no one gets to the Father except through me, is what Jesus said. He is the only way to have a relationship with God the Father. He is the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. And you come by understanding you're a sinner and accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that he died on the cross for my sins, and I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, you need to do that today. Today, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, today's the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You don't know what's coming in your life. Today's the day to accept Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you've never done that, please do that. Next, if you're here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, and you've been waiting and you're praying and you've got some pretty heavy things that you've been waiting for God to respond, waiting for God to do something to you, what I'm asking you to do this morning is just come and give it to God and surrender it to God and continue to live for him. To give that to God and take your focus off that thing that you're waiting for and continue to live for him. That this Christmas, you and I to continue to live for Jesus. That this Christmas, you and I to focus on what really matters. And that's what life, that's what Christmas reminds us of. It brings this time of year that we get to celebrate in our country what's really important. And God brings it to the forefront of our minds. What's really important, what really matters in life is Jesus. He really is the reason for the season. And sometimes we forget that, what it's all about. And it's about Jesus. Don't be so busy and so occupied with your life and what you're doing that you miss celebrating and worshiping the one who's all about. Don't miss the opportunity to come to church and be a part of that. That's what you do. We come and we celebrate together. We get so busy and we get so occupied. We got other things we got to do that's more important than worshiping the one who came to give his all for us. And this reminds us to do that. So please be here and let's celebrate together the Savior who came to this earth, that entered our earth, that came here to be with us so that we might be with him one day if we place our faith and trust in him. So let's, first thing, to focus upon him. Second thing is we're gonna have opportunity around Christmas time to spend time with family and friends. And some of them may not know Jesus. This is our opportunity to share with them the reason for the season of Christmas is Jesus. So they might be introduced to Jesus and might come to know him too, and might be able to have that relationship that you have with him. So God has given us a great responsibility to, one, to focus upon him, and two, to be his ambassador for others. Because people are interested in things like this. They're interested in knowing. This is a time to invite them to church, invite them to our candlelight service where the gospel will be given out. Make sure we're doing our part and to keep our focus on Jesus and to worship him this Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much, Lord, as Simeon and Israel waited for the consolation of Israel and waited for Messiah to come. And Lord, and they waited and they patiently waited and you came. And Lord, you fulfilled all your promises. You are that and more. And Lord, we don't have to wait like that. You came and we can accept you right now as our Savior. And I pray for that person that does not know you, that they'd realize they don't have to wait, but they right now can accept Jesus. And I pray for that person right now, they place their faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray for anyone here that is waiting and Lord, they're getting tired of waiting and maybe they're getting upset and angry, that Lord, they would just surrender that to you this morning. Surrender their circumstance with you and surrender their hearts and minds and their feelings and their emotions to you and realize, Lord, that you love them and you want to help them and you will help them, but they've got to give it to you and they've got to commit it to you. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would get past that circumstance and get beyond that, to fix our eyes and our hearts and our minds upon you, to live for Jesus and to walk with Jesus. Lord, let us worship you and realize that the only thing that matters is really you and that you reign and nothing else changes. As long as you're on that throne and reigning, Lord, everything will be right here on earth. Lord, we thank you so much for the hope that we have that Jesus gives us. And that's what we celebrate, that Savior that came to be born into this world, that came to die for us, that we might have life. So we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for all that you've given us. And Lord, let us be people who focus on you this Christmas. Let this be Christmas that is really centered upon you, Jesus. That our hearts and minds are really worshiping you. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.